Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I've talked before about the structure of the courts in America. And so in the federal system, if you read the Constitution, for instance, you'll discover that we have a thing called a Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is the big court at the top of the pyramid. And beneath them are courts of appeal. There's different appeals courts around the nation. They cover different regions. So, for instance, I'm in Michigan. We are part of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And, of course, California is the Ninth, and so on. And so there are circuit courts, and then beneath them are the district courts. So, for instance, there's a court in Michigan, Eastern District, Southern Division in Detroit. So that district court, if I wanted to file a lawsuit in federal district court in Detroit, would get filed in that district court. If that district court made a ruling that somebody wanted to appeal, they'd appeal that to the Sixth Circuit Court. And then if the Sixth Circuit got appealed, it would go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we've talked before about precedent. And precedent is the idea that if you go into court and you've got facts of a certain nature, and you can show that the court you're in has ruled previously on a similar case, you can say, based on precedent, I should win because my case matches a case you've already ruled on. And the idea of working with precedent goes back hundreds of years. It predates America, okay? And it's a common law concept that by following precedent, it makes the law more predictable. And that's one of the things that you actually want the law to be. You want the law to be predictable so you actually know what's right and what's wrong. So the way it works in the federal system is that if you are in a district court, the first thing you look to is see if there's any precedent from the Court of Appeals for the circuit you're in. So in Michigan, if I'm in court, I filed an action in Detroit, Eastern District, Southern Division of Michigan. What I could then do is look to the Sixth Circuit and see if there's any cases on point that go my way. Or if they don't go my way, I have to be aware of them. And so I look for the precedent in the Sixth Circuit. If there's precedent from the Supreme Court, that would be good law in the entire country. But I'm talking about just the law in a circuit. So a lot of times, cases have precedent at the Circuit Court of Appeals, but not at the Supreme Court. So there's an interesting case. Ashen sent it to me. Said, Steve, check this out. It's an otherwise run-of-the-mill case. Typical criminal case. United States of America versus Raymond McKinney. But there's a footnote in it that's hilarious. Because what happened procedurally is a guy is on trial and he brings a motion to suppress evidence. The motion is denied. Okay? He preserves his right to take that up on appeal. He takes it up on appeal and the Fifth Circuit agrees with him, sends it back down to the trial court to do what's appropriate after having been told by the Fifth Circuit what's appropriate. The court that heard the case the first time not only ignores what the Circuit Court of Appeals said, but they actually go against it and the judge says on the record that he doesn't read the opinions of the Fifth Circuit, and he can do what he wants. So it goes up on appeal a second time, and then the Fifth Circuit explains that I don't care if you read the opinions, you still got to follow them. So here's the case. Raymond McKinney was charged with one count of a felony in violation of 18 U.S.C. 922 G1. He moved to suppress evidence, which was discovered during a pat-down search following a warrantless investigatory stop. The district court denied the motion without a hearing. And McKinney entered into a conditional guilty plea pursuant to a written plea agreement, which reserved his right to challenge the suppression ruling. He was sentenced to time served because he'd already spent 2 years in jail. And McKinney then appealed the denial of his suppression motion, and we reversed. This is the Fifth Circuit talking. We reversed, holding that the evidence before the district court did not indicate that the officers had reasonable suspicion to detain him for questioning. And they said that the officers' body camera footage, the police report, and the photographs that were before the court, when reviewed by this court, did not give the police officer reason to do what he did. And they cite that case as United States versus McKinney. And that was back in 2020. So the case got sent back down on remand, and McKinney renewed his motion to suppress. The district court held an evidentiary hearing at which the two arresting officers testified. The district court again denied the motion, holding that the officers had reasonable suspicion to detain McKinney and probable cause to frisk him. The district court re-entered the judgment of conviction and reinstated a sentence. McKinney appealed. On remand, the government offered no evidence that could materially alter our earlier analysis, even though we had described the type of evidence that might support reasonable suspicion. To the contrary, the officer's testimony confirms our previous interpretation of the facts. They specifically confirmed that the body camera footage on which we relied reflected accurately what happened. Moreover, they confirmed that they stopped McKinney based on little more than the color of his clothing, while neglecting to stop or even question others nearby who are wearing the same color clothing. Also, his location in a high crime area, even though he was carrying a grocery bag from a nearby food mart, and the fact that he's wearing a windbreaker, which on cross-examination, the officers admitted was not particularly suspicious. But he was wearing that windbreaker. In short, the officer's testimony does nothing to assuage our earlier concern that the officer stopped McKinney based on nothing more than a hunch. Nonetheless, the district court entered an order denying McKinney's motion to suppress that mirrored almost exactly its earlier order that we found wanting. Because the evidence introduced on remand does nothing to undercut our earlier analysis, finding no reasonable suspicion to detain McKinney, we are bound to reverse the district court's denial of McKinney's motion to suppress. We therefore vacate the district court's order denying the motion. We vacate his conviction and sentence, and we remand the case to the district court for further proceedings. The question now is whether the lower court's going to once again reinstate the conviction or if they're going to actually admit they've lost. But here is the deal. The district court judge, on the record, after being slapped once by the Court of Appeals, said, and this is the judge speaking on the record, "I follow Judge Bunton's rule about Fifth Circuit opinions. They can reverse me if they want to, but they can't make me read it. Which I'm glad you all have read it, but I also, if my recollection is correct, none of those fine judges have ever tried a case or dealt with what we deal with on the street. But anyway, what do I know?" That is a federal judge speaking on the record. Okay? "They can reverse me if they want to, but they can't make me read it." He's referring to an order from a higher court. And now, keep in mind, federal judges are appointed for life. This guy is going to be on the bench for a while. He's openly saying, "I don't read the opinions of higher courts, even the ones that tell me what to do." So they write an opinion telling me what to do. They can write it, but they can't make me read it. And this is crazy. And this is crazy. So I've had people ask me before. They say, "Steve, I got a question for you. These lifetime appointments, somebody gets appointed to be a judge for life. Is it really a lifetime?" Well, generally speaking, yes. They can be removed. There's a process for it. But it rarely happens, but it does occasionally happen. So if you go onto the Google and type in, "Has any federal judge ever been removed from the bench?" you'll see a few that have been. But it's usually for egregious things, right? And so the fact that you've got a federal judge on the record saying, "They can reverse me if they want to, but they can't make me read it." He's openly saying he won't do his job. Doesn't feel like it. "You can't make me." This is crazy. This is crazy. And I know some people don't like me using the word crazy to describe things. I'm not sure why, but it's a trigger word for some people. But this is crazy because the judge's ruling in the first instance was wrong. He said they had good reason to pat this guy down and find what they found, despite the fact that they didn't have good reason. So he was wrong the first time, and the Court of Appeals said so. And so then he holds a hearing so he can go through the motions and say, I at least went through the motions, and he's wrong a second time. And the Court of Appeals says a second time, number one, you're wrong the same way you were wrong before, and we also caught the part where you said you don't read what we do, which you really ought to do. And so what this boils down to is there was a guy who got arrested, and it appears that the basis of his arrest was unlawful. And I don't see the date of the arrest. I suspect it's in the earlier case and not this case. But they also said that he'd spent 2 years in jail preceding his trial. Then he got sentenced to time served. Okay, so some people are going to say, Steve, why even fight this then? The guy's out. Well, I'm assuming he wants to have that felony conviction removed if he can get it. So that's the real reason here. But the fact that you spend 2 years in jail because the police did something wrong, the trial court screws that up, Court of Appeals reverses it, and the trial court screws it up a second time and says in the record, well, I don't read those opinions. They can't make me. And so this guy now is going to get sent back down and hope that the trial court will finally say, okay, I'll read the opinion, see what it says. So this opinion came down June 10th, a couple days ago, and we'll see what happens. And I'll try to look for updates on this. So U.S. versus Raymond McKinney in the Fifth Circuit, where one of the trial court judges says, well, they can reverse me, but they can't make me read the opinion. So there you go. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Thanks, Ashton, for the story. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Success is deliberate. Excellence is intentional. Victory comes out of struggles. Winners win because they played a role. Get busy now.